whoa, holy cow. Here I was flipping through my Twitter, and Drew just goes, oh, look, 3:30. Man, oh, man. Hey, I'm back. It's Kai. I'm back. This is Make Me Smart, the Monday edition of The Daily. I'm back. Molly's gone. Kimberly Adams is the steady hand at the tiller these 2 weeks. Hi, Kimberly.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. No, it truly is. Truly is. As I was saying just before Drew so unceremoniously started this podcast, I love my job. It's good to be back. So here I am. But I'll tell you what. Holy cow. Two things about my vacation. Number one, I highly recommend taking time off. And as I've said before on this podcast, I'm really bad at self-care, but this was so necessary. And I am promising myself to take more days and weeks off in the months ahead, because none of this is changing, which gets me to point number two. None of this is changing. It's craziness.
No, but you're absolutely right. Yes. So crucial to take that time off and self-care and just downtime for the people and the things that really matter. Like you said, it's a rough time. So I'm really glad that you did that. But I'm also glad you're back, and I'm ready for your news fix.
All right, let's dig in. So I'll go first just because I think it's interesting. We've been covering on Marketplace from time to time a statistic out from a housing lobbying group. It's called the National Multifamily Housing Council. They're a residential developer trade group. Talking about how many people are able to pay their rents on time. And that number has been reasonably high of late, and it is still reasonably high given everything that's going on. But a piece in the Financial Times today caught my eye for this reason. The headline numbers are generally solid, the paper reports. Property executives noted that the proportion of renters who use credit cards to make their payments is increasing. And that, I would submit, is not a great thing. If you have to put the rent on plastic,
That's bad with so many levels of bad.
On so many levels,
Like, not only are the interest rates crazy high, which you and I have talked about before, how, you know, credit is getting more expensive for low-income people but cheaper for higher-income people, but also credit lending the credit standards are tightening. It's getting harder to get credit cards in general. Like, wow.
Yep.
That's
and if you have to put it on plastic, it means you don't have the cash, right? Because your hours have been cut or you're out of a job. And as we've talked about a gazillion times, the extra unemployment benefits have gone away and Congress hasn't figured it out yet. And so this is really a sign of stress that is going to become super apparent the longer this drags on, this meaning Congress not being able to figure out what it's doing. I think that's a
Kai. We have a memorandum on this now. Surely that will fix everything.
We have three memoranda and an executive order. So, hey, the economy is fixed. Everything's good. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't even. So that's my thing. That's my news item. Keep an eye on residential real estate and apartments, because if you're paying on plastic, that's just not great at all.
The evictions are super concerning. I've lived in places before that had regular evictions because people couldn't pay their rent, and I don't know if folks in the audience have seen what that looks like in real life, to just sort of come home from work one day and see all of somebody's property out in front of an apartment complex or in front of a house, and they're just sitting there trying to sort out what to do, on the phone with people, trying to get friends, family to help them pick up their stuff before it rains or before something else happens. And we're on our way to a lot more of that. And it's really frightening. As cynical as you probably heard me just be about the president's executive order, singular, and memoranda, plural, the three of these sort of stopgap measures, and including instructing HUD, to the Housing and Urban Development, to sort of do what it can to limit evictions and foreclosures, the fact that Congress hasn't come to a deal on that is going to have real life effects for so many people. You know, even if there is some presidential overreach or magical thinking involved in these, executive actions, shall we call them, that came out over the weekend, it stems from a real place of need. because...
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, the need is enormous, and that's why it's so staggering that Congress hasn't been able to see the clear need that they do something. I don't know. I'm almost out of gas on railing against their inactivity because I just feel like a broken record. But it's so obvious to me what the solution is. And it's not doing
enough. What's the solution?
The solution is use the as Jay Powell says, use the tremendous fiscal power of the American government to get the economy through this patch, or we risk lasting damage.
But also deal with the pandemic first.
Of course, right? And look, Jay Powell, font of all wisdom, he says that too. The virus and the economy are the same thing, and people keep trying to separate them, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But in the absence of being able to control the virus, right, because we willfully are not, then let's at least control the economic damage. That's my thought. I'll stop clicking that thing.
Speaking of not controlling the virus, my news fix, which is a report out from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association that close to 100,000 children in the U.S. have tested positive for coronavirus just in the last 2 weeks of July. That's a lot of kids. And thankfully, they don't seem to get as sick or have as damaging health consequences as some of the other age groups that also tragically have really bad effects. But kids have to go back to school. Kids are going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Many places are insisting that kids go back to school in person. And I'm just trying to there was this really interesting profile, I think it was in the Washington Post last week, of a school superintendent who was just sort of going through the litany of things that he had to do to try to make the space safe for the kids. And it was just – he said, you know, if people think that we can do this safely and just go back to school safely, it's a fantasy world. And on the other hand, I am not a parent. I can't imagine what it's like to, try to balance working while also trying to educate your kids. My niece is staying with me this week for 1 week.
Oh.
She's 10, and she's bored out of her mind, just like with me working one day. And this is the beginning of the week. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? She's literally giggling right behind me, just like waiting for me to finish so
that
we can go swimming. And ramp that up to all the parents of America who've been dealing with this for months. So I don't know the answer to these questions.
I am so happy my kids are surly teenagers and completely content to sit on their phones and not talk to me. But for parents who have younger kids, I cannot conceive of it. Truly. Truly, truly, truly. And school starts for my kids in a week, and thank goodness for that. You know? All right. Drew, hit me. There we go.
Please, happy.
There
please.
We go. Please, hit me, please. Hit me, please. Okay. So mine is it's a quickie. It's a little risque, and it made me laugh, and I figured why not. So there's a headline in entertainment website and a bunch of other websites as well. It does Verge. The Verge.
You know, when you said risque, I really thought you were going to be talking about that new Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion song, and I was like, really?
That was me. I was going to do it. That was my second choice. That was my second choice. But I instead went with this headline. So Disney is rebranding all the properties that it bought from Fox a year or so ago, and the headline in The Verge says. And if your kids are on, I'm sorry, cover your ears, cover their ears, or explain to them what this means. Disney has no Fox left to give as it renames TV studio to 20th Television. So remember, it used to be 20th Century Fox and 21st Century Fox, and now it's just 20th Television under the Disney umbrella. I just thought that was funny, and that's what I got. That's what I got. Look, my bar is very low for humor these days. That's all I'm saying.
Your bar is especially low for risque, given the times we live.
Well,
in.
Yeah, a little. It's a tad naughty, you know. It's a tad naughty.
Oh, come on, I'll
I got yelled
that.
At on this podcast a couple of times for using bad words. So
and we cannot have that.
I know.
All right. Well, I'm going to go.
So that's mine. There you go.
Well, Disney has a lot of animal, a lot of movies about pets. So my story is about pets.
Yes.
Which is actually about how the story in the New York Times, rare economic bright spot in the U.S. health system, the vet's office, and how vets are just deluged right now. They're getting so much business. They're expanding. They're trying to hire new people for a couple of reasons. One, lots of people got new pets when they realized that they were going to be stuck in the house for who knows how long. Lots of new puppies. I went to go pick up a puppy with a friend of mine. I guess it was like a week or so ago, and she's been trying to get a vet appointment ever since, and it's just impossible. Yeah. But sort of the line in this that really made me chuckle was basically that one of the things that people like more about vets than our regular healthcare system for humans is that there's pricing transparency. The vet will tell you how much your treatment is going to cost.
Wow.
And it will cost
that's great.
And so, you know, people like know what they're walking into, which is unlike our actual healthcare system. So let's sit with that the healthcare system animals works better in America than the healthcare system for us. It's a make me smile in a wry kind of, gotta smile so you don't cry kind of way. But
I
also puppies.
I love this piece. Yeah, no, for sure. So what happened was, I don't know if you know the backstory, but Sarah Cliff, who reports on healthcare for the New York Times, got a new puppy and was having the devil's getting an appointment for her puppy. And so decided, being the reporter that she is, to look into why it happens. And so she wrote this whole great piece, which is totally interesting. The other thing, and my favorite line, yours is the best marketplace, makes total economic sense line. My favorite line in this piece is that sometimes humans who are spending more time with their pets notice important changes in the health of their cats and dogs. One emergency veterinarian reported a rise in cases of urinary obstructions among cats, which may be a sign of feline stress, open parentheses, possibly as a result of humans hanging around more than the cat would like, close parentheses. I just thought that was cute. That was cute. No, Sarah's great.
As a cat person, that's probably pretty on point.
Oh, totally. Totally. But on the other hand, my dogs are going to be – when and if we all ever get to go back to school and work, are the dogs in this house, my house, are going to be bereft because they have been getting so much love and attention. And they're like, yeah, play. Come on, let's go. Throw the ball.
And yes, like, I see your postings on a regular basis when you brought your daily tennis ball.
That's right. Every day. And I don't take the picture every day, but she's there every day. And it's always on deadline. It's like 1:20 in the afternoon. And I'm like, Willow, go away. Like,
this is the perfect time to throw the ball, Dad.
I know.
Perfect
time.
That's
exactly right.
Yes. So pets, one bright spot in many of our lives.
That's right. That's us for a Monday. Back tomorrow with a deep dive on election security. We're going to do the Postal Service because that is huge and what is going on there. And how that's going to affect the polls in November. In the meanwhile, questions and comments, please make me smart at marketplace.org. Hit us up.
All right. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Heathcoat is our video producer, and Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
I would just like to report, by the way, a Molly Wood sighting on Instagram. She was at IKEA today up in Oakland doing some shopping. She had some Swedish meatballs. She insta'd that.
Okay.
I just thought I'd let you know. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Heathcote is our video producer, Ethan Parrott. No, I'm reading those same lines again. Good grief.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been away. Drew Jostin
engineered
today.
It's because we both have the same
music
initial.
Was composed by Ben Dalladay and Daniel Herman. That's exactly what it is.
Because it's K-A and it's supposed to K-R.
I know. All right. Oh, and look, they're both – never mind. This is too far inside baseball. Drew Jostad drove today. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez did the theme. Sitar Nieves is the executive director of On Demand, also the senior producer this week. Good God, Sitar, take charge of this podcast, will you?
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.